Robbie and Rex Road, 9 o'clock hour. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. It's all presented by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We're live at the Hillside Medical Game Studio and our video streaming sponsor on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook is presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Say hello to Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo NBA. Vincent, how are you?
Doing good. Good morning, guys.
So this play-in tournament, first year that the NBA is done this type of format, and a couple of games on the docket tonight to wrap that up. You got Cleveland and Atlanta, and then the Pelicans and the Clippers. Do you feel like that they have accomplished what they were looking for by having a play-in tournament to get some of these teams in?
Absolutely. I think the number one thing wasn't to make the playoffs more compelling. It was to make the end of the regular season a little more compelling, where you would have, you know, teams tanking because they knew they didn't have any realistic shot of making the playoffs, so they want to increase their chances for the lottery. So what happens is, you know, you have 9 and 10 teams 9 and 10 in both conferences who are playing meaningful games, which also means maybe teams 11 and 12 who want to get into that are playing more meaningful games. And it kind of sets up a college sort of atmosphere, you know, not quite one and done, because if you lose, if you're in 7 and 8 and you lose one game, you got one more game to play. But it does create an urgency that you don't normally see in a 7-game series in the NBA. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. And I think it's worked in the 2 years that they've done it. It's been wildly entertaining and really competitive.
Yeah, I got to agree, Vinny. I, at first, you know, complained about it. Didn't – I was, you know, and I thought maybe, okay, so it's like a bubble thing, try something to – I got to say, I really like it. I think it's fun. I think it adds a little bit here. And like you said, it just – it makes it more compelling for more teams late in the regular season. But, of course, now we're about to get to – after tonight, we're about to get to the main stuff, and I'm really excited for this postseason. So many storylines. You wrote about a lot of them today at Yahoo, including James Harden. And really, like, man, if he thinks he's getting a $200 million deal, as you wrote, I mean, he's got to step up huge in this postseason, right? I mean, he is of the great players of this era. I can't think of a postseason moment for him that, you know, and all these other guys have multiple moments. I mean, do you think that's what he is?
Yeah, I think Joe, if he thinks he's getting $200 million based off of his playoff resume, he's high. Because there's really nothing that says that he should warrant that, especially as you're going to, you know, this 5-year contract that I think he expects to get will take him into his late 30s, and he's not exactly a LeBron James Adonis-like figure whose game, you know, is going to age. But apparently in today's NBA, the older you get, the more, you know, salary cap space you can take up. And if you feel like the equity you've put in, you know, and the precedent that's been set, yeah, he can expect that. But honestly, I don't see a player in professional sports. I can take it beyond the NBA. I can't name a big name player, an MVP type figure in professional sports who's come up small so many times consistently in big moments like James Harden. Like, I can go back to the Karl Malones of the world in the NBA. You can go back to the days where maybe Peyton Manning hadn't shown up until he did. You know what I mean? But Peyton Manning eventually showed up after winning, you know, 3 or 4 MVPs. You can't think of anybody recently like James Harden. I think that has to weigh on him. And if it doesn't, it's probably because he's high.
We're talking to Vincent Goodwill from Yahoo NBA as the NBA playoffs will get underway tomorrow. The play-in tournament will wrap up tonight. And obviously, a lot of eyes are going to be on the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Memphis has been so impressive, Vincent, because, you know, 56-26 on the year, but a lot of their success they've done without John Morant. He was out with injury. And a few people locally that I've talked to that have followed the Grizzlies feel like that as a 2 seed, I mean, they are built to make a long run. How confident are you in the Grizz to possibly do that and come out of the West?
I'm very confident that they'll at least make it to the Western Conference Finals. I think they have a very good shot of getting there. And usually in the NBA, when you're so young and you've got a really, really young team. I know you got a couple of veteran guys there, but we're talking about a really young team. You've got to take your lumps. I'm not sure if they're going to have to take their lumps. They're going to take a lump once they lose. If they lose to Phoenix in the Western Conference Finals, nobody's going to poo-poo that. But usually you have to go through some real disappointment before you even get to that particular stage. I think they might skip a step a little bit this year. If they're playing Golden State in the second round, and that's a dynastic franchise and everything else, do you think that the Memphis Grizzlies gives two cares about Golden State winning championships over the past decade? They don't care about anybody's pedigree. They will beat you. They will beat you up. I like the fact that they can win different ways. Like Ja Morant, they have a completely different makeup of the team when Ja Morant is there and leading the way compared to when they don't, but there is a certain level of consistency. There's a thread that they're going to play tough and they're going to be opportunistic. It's just that Ja adds an element of explosion there. And if there's a team that we look at in the playoffs, especially in the Western Conference, guys, if you ask me what team doesn't scare, it's probably the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, no, and Vinny, I mean, that hits on, frankly, the series that I might be looking forward to as much as any potential series here would be that second round matchup. I mean, look, I got to admit some bias. I mean, I'm a Run TMC loyalist, okay? So I'm not like some new bandwagoner. They were like my West team. And I've loved this dynasty. They also, as you wrote, you know, they haven't been whole all year, but I see like Clay have a 40-point game. I see Draymond playing well now. Steph comes back. Is there a chance, do you think, that this could actually just ignite for these guys and we could see another wild run by the Warriors?
I mean, it's possible. You know what I mean? Like, I won't write them off, but the evidence that's been presented to me this year, Joe, has been very sporadic. You know, Steph Curry has not been the same player, you know, even before he got hurt a month ago. He hasn't been the same player that he was in the first month of the season when I thought he was going to win MVP. And Draymond Green, who you covered a long time ago, like, it's a lot of miles on those guys. And I think a lot of times we look at them almost like old boxers. Like, remember Muhammad Ali and when he was getting towards the end of his career, and he said, I'm in the best shape of my life and everything else. And he looked like he was, except when he got hit. And then he didn't look like the same guy. Like, I wonder if we reached that stage with the Golden State Warriors where they may very well be the last ones to figure this out. And I'll tell you the player that intrigues me the most in that potential series, Jaren Jackson Jr., because he can defend at all three levels. He can finish at the rim. He can shoot the three. He is so very critical to opening things up for Ja. And if there's one player who might be able to get under the skin of Draymond Green unintentionally, it's probably someone with Michigan State ties.
Sparty. I like it. I like it. That's. I agree. That could be a lot of fun.
No, yeah. I think it is. And I think just the playoffs as a whole, guys, like, assuming teams get healthy, you know, Stephen Curry's not healthy right now. Luka Doncic isn't healthy. But even this Memphis-Minnesota series is new teams. You know what I mean? Teams with guys that we haven't necessarily seen pop up on the stage. And I think it's good to have that new blood. Like, Ja Morant, I think, is like one of these stars that the NBA is going to have to wrap its arms around, even in an unconventional way, even if Memphis is an unconventional market. Like, I literally look forward to spending time in Memphis during the Western Conference Finals and getting some Memphis barbecue and maybe partaking in some Memphis cigars in the downtown area.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. So, Vinny, look, I gotta throw you a question about Detroit basketball, okay? So Cade Cunningham, what's the trajectory? I feel like more and more this year as I watched him, I thought, wow, this guy could actually be what they hoped when they drafted him.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I wasn't completely sure. I won't say I wasn't a Cade Cunningham guy. Like, I thought Evan Mobley was a guy. I looked at him and I saw Tim Duncan, just, you know, 4 years younger, because Duncan was a 4-year college player when he came to the league and he had so much polish. And Evan Mobley was a 19-year-old. Like, you know, you got to take those 3 years of development in between. So when I looked at Cade Cunningham, I said, maybe he's too polished. You know, sometimes when you get college players, regardless of what year they come out, they just have such a mature game, almost similar to what Duke has in Paolo Banchero, which is, I'm really, really kind of off of him. But Cade looks to me like a guy that embraces the moment. It's almost like he's been groomed to be a franchise player. Like whatever he was doing when he was in the Dallas area, it's almost like he was growing up knowing that one day he was going to have to accept the responsibility of everything that comes with being a franchise player. And just because you have franchise talent doesn't mean you have franchise player attributes. And he's on the floor with Joel Embiid and James Harden and Kevin Durant some nights, and he's the best player on the floor. There's not many rookies that are 19, 20 years old can feel comfortable enough in their own skin and confident enough to embrace those moments. I think Detroit has gotten a little bit lucky in how they've gotten him, and now they can start to build their team around a face of the franchise, which they haven't had, largely, if you want to say, since Grant Hill.
Well, Vincent, it's going to be fun for sure to watch these playoffs. Appreciate the time today, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. I couldn't help but get a Michigan State shot in because, you know, I love Michigan State and I love the Sparties. And
oh, you are such a big Sparty lover, Vinny.
I love it.
Thanks, man.
Vincent Goodwill, Yahoo NBA, as the playoffs are here starting tomorrow. Obviously, the play-in game will finish out tonight. And you can actually hear Denver taking on Golden State tomorrow night, starting at 7:30 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So we'll be able to carry some playoffs for you as the association gets their postseason underway. I'm excited about it, especially if the Grizzlies can go on a run, Joe. I think that's going to be good.
No, I'm super excited. I'm super excited to watch them. Golden State, I mean, Brooklyn, you know, is Phoenix. I mean, there's so many storylines. I'm really pumped for what's to come. And by the way, just so everybody knows, Vinny Goodwill is a huge University of Michigan Wolverines fan who hates Michigan State. So that was a little inside joke. But yes, he's forced to talk about Sparties in the NBA. So always fun when you get that going.
It's all good. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville now and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you are there. You must be 18 to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. Up next, what is your level of investment or excitement with the Memphis Grizzlies as their 2 seed getting ready to start the playoffs? We'll discuss that up next here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase in for Rob, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities like Joe Rex Road and sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Back here on Robbie and Rex Road, Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. Also a reminder, you can catch the Vanderbilt Spring Game tomorrow at 1 on ESPN 94.9. So don't miss that, the black and gold game. Having a good time with Michelle Knezovic, Joe Rexroad. What is your interest level in the Grizzlies going into the playoffs? And I will be the first to admit, I'm not a huge NBA fan. You know, basketball in general, it's not that I dislike basketball. I have other things that I would prefer to watch. And so that's what I do. But when playoff time comes around, you know, I always enjoyed watching the playoffs with my dad and the finals, and he was big into the Lakers back in the day when they were Showtime, and so that's fun. But the fact that there's an NBA team down the road in Memphis that looks like they have a legitimate shot to make a run at things intrigues me even more. How does the rest of the city feel about that? 615-737-1025. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I think Max Hurt. Did Max put up a poll? I think he put up a poll question.
Yes, he did.
And it was pretty favorable in terms of response, in terms of at least some level of interest with the Grizzlies. I do think that it's going to take a series win to really get traction. Like, I don't expect all of Nashville to be swept up in Grizzlies T-Wolves. There are other things going on. Not that you can't follow, you know, 2, 3, 4 teams at once, but I think if the Grizzlies beat the T-Wolves, as I think they should, especially if Golden State then beats Denver and that's the matchup next, I think you'll see a big uptick in interest. And we talked about this with Teresa Walker and Jeff Calkins. Look, this is the best chance a Memphis Grizzlies team has had to win a championship ever. going into a postseason ever. And I have full respect for the Zeebo led, grit and grind teams of a few years ago. Great teams, but there was a ceiling on them that I don't think exists on this team now, because although Phoenix is really good, Phoenix is great. Phoenix is not some overwhelming force that can't be overcome. I mean, Phoenix could stumble in the second round. So I think it's pretty wide open in the West. That along with, they've just never had a player like Ja Morant. I mean, they've had a lot of great players or really good players. Ja Morant is a generational kind of player, and it's exciting. So when you have the star and then you have like an actual championship potential to you, then I really think you can draw in people from a few hours away. You should be able to.
Yeah, but I mean, like Brandy on Twitter says, I'm from Memphis and my level of care is extremely low. NHL and NBA season schedules are too similar and it's hard to keep up with both. And Brandy's obviously a huge Preds fan. Moses said, I'm all in on the Memphis Grizzlies. And I don't think the whole Nashville-Memphis thing is really a factor here. I just think it's what's your interest in basketball. And I got in trouble, Joe, with my mom because she said, everything is your dad. Your grandmother and I love basketball. So, sorry, Mom.
Basketball's elite. I mean, you know how Joe and I feel about basketball, Chase, so you're kind of the odd one out here.
We're with your mom.
That's all right.
But you're right. I mean, obviously. But, you know, it's funny because I go back to 2017. And I think it was especially true in Knoxville, but there was some of this in Memphis too. I remember Jeff Calkins like actually wrote something back then for the Commercial Appeal. You know, once the Preds got to like the conference final level, you started having watch parties and things like that. I mean, is that all hockey enthusiasts, or is it just kind of like, wow, this is a really great story? It's in our, you know, it's in our vicinity. It's a national sports story. Let's check this out. I think you may have a little bit of that here. Yeah, like, look, I can't wrap my head around a lot of NBA takes, including like that, like, you know, like today's teams couldn't hang with, you know, Jordan and Magic and stuff. But also,
your favorite
like
that, take.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can go on and on about
those,
that.
Those
one,
but takes don't matter. I mean, come on, like it's just different eras.
But it's so hard for basketball fans, I swear, to get there. It is. Jeff Cole came in the other day. He's like, you take Larry Bird over Kevin, or it's like Larry Bird or Kevin Durant. I'm like, dude, Kevin Durant, he's 6'11", and like, I mean, like Larry Bird was great. Don't get me wrong, but you know, I just feel like it's a great era of basketball. You know, it's just really fun, different styles, so many great players sharing the ball. It's fun to watch, and Memphis is a fun team to watch. That's the thing too. Is it entertaining? I mean, Memphis Grizzlies are to me highly entertaining. So like if you totally are out on basketball, well then this isn't gonna reach you. But man, I think this is something that people should enjoy because it's really fun.
Okay, agree or disagree with this text on the text line from Ron, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Grizzlies are good, but they're missing Gasol. He could really help Morant.
Well, I mean,
is he basically saying they're missing the big man in the middle, or Gasol specifically?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, certainly he was a really good player for a long time. I think Steven Adams has been.
I like Steven Adams.
You cannot not love that guy.
He's not what he was a few years ago with Oklahoma City, but I mean he's been effective. And the big man in the middle is different than it used to be too.
Yeah, I mean basically, can you have some rim protection, defensive rebounding? I mean, if you can throw it in and score, great. But let's also remember Jaren Jackson as a four who can stretch the floor, who can protect the rim. As an interior, like Vinny Goodwill mentioned in last segment, he is, you know, he's one of the reasons that they're a contender. I mean, they've got a lot of good players. Jaren Jackson is to me the next closest thing to a rising star on that team. Desmond Baines had a great year.
You're just saying that because he's Michigan State.
Yes, because I'm a huge, huge Michigan State fan. Yes, very much.
But I, you know, I, like I said, I'm intrigued, and I'm not as – in depth with it as you are, but I know enough to know the lay of the land that this team is pretty darn good, and Ja Morant is one of those generational players that they've obviously started to build around, and I think it would be good not only for the city of Memphis but the state for them to go on a run.
Yeah, and you know, and look, some of this has to do, if you want to talk about Nashville specific to the Grizzlies, well, look, if the Preds get in and go on a run, well, that's going to, I mean, that's going to naturally reduce the interest in the Grizzlies. But, you know, if the Preds are out early or they don't get in and it, and all of a sudden, I mean, you know how it is. Like if you have a team, I think a lot of times fans are like, I don't even want to watch the rest of this tournament because my team's out of it. Right. You know, if the Preds are not occupying a lot of attention, that increases the chances that people are going to follow the Grizzlies if they make a run. But I say it'd be a ton of fun in this state if they both made a run. At some point, that's going to happen, and Teresa Walker is just going to be wearing out the mileage. I mean, just wearing it out.
There's no doubt, but that's why she's a Hall of Famer and a superstar.
That's so right. That's why she's the GOAT.
I think she'll be fine. There's breaking news out of the NFL, and it affects the AFC South. We'll get to that up next, but tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the world champion Atlanta Braves. Pre-game show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:50 and the first pitch at 6:05. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 is presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. This weekend's games, they will wrap up the series against Gwinnett Saturday and Sunday. The Sunday game at 11:50, pregame with first pitch at 12:05, all on ESPN 94.9. We'll get to weekend winners and that breaking news up next on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, so yes, it is that time. Weekend winners, Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Having a great time this morning, and Robbie and Rex Road is presented by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Real quick, Joe, before we get to our weekend winners, the breaking news out of the NFL and how it affects the AFC South, the Indianapolis Colts are signing cornerback Stephon Gilmore to a two-year, $23 million deal, according to multiple sources, including Ian Rapoport and Tom Pelissero. What are your thoughts on that real quick?
Yeah, so it's been in the works. Look, they've had cap space. At some point, you got to start spending, man. You know, I mean, we can all like golf clap for Chris Ballard to keep that cap space huge, but like use your money and get players. So, you know, Zach Kiefer, my cohort of The Athletic, covers the NFL, covers the Colts. So he had a tweet. So let's go through this. Now, they have that defense. You add him to Kenny Moore. Now you have DeForest Buckner, Darius Leonard. You have Kwity Paye. You have Deo Odiyingbo, who, of course, Vanderbilt kid who has been hurt. You got Ngakoue now. You could see where that could be. And that was my big question with them, is they've got to be better in the back end. You know, they've got to be able to match up and play man at times against good receivers. It's a good add. It's a good signing. It's absolutely worth a shot. You know, he may be on the decline. There's some question about him at this point, but I still think he's still a good corner in this league, and they needed that badly. So, good move for the Colts. They're getting better.
Yeah, and look what they're doing. I mean, they're almost identical to the Titans setup right now. If they have a pretty darn good defense, they have a solid quarterback, even though he's declining. He's obviously older than Matt Ryan. A good run game, some decent receivers. So, I mean, it's almost like these two teams are pretty identical, and they will be fighting it out for the AFC South. So we'll keep discussing that, and I'm sure D-Mace will have some thoughts on that on Darren Donick and not Chase today coming up at 10 o'clock. But let's get to our weekend winners, Joe.
All right. So last week, let's see, it was – a 3-3, 4 points for me. Robbie went 2-4 with 3 points. So we both got our locks last week. My lock was Tiger not in the top 15. Robbie's lock was Blues against Wild. Michelle went 2-4 with 2 points. And I hope you learned on the lock. your White Sox lock against the Tigers. Oh, what a comeback win for the Tigers on opening day. What a glorious day.
Nice loss to the Red Sox the other day, Joe.
Ah, yes. There you go. There you go. So the standings. I'm in first by a point, 30-18 overall, 6-2 with locks, 36 points. Robbie, 28-20, but he's 7-1 on his locks. He's got 35 points. Michelle, 22-26, 23 points. Again, the Costanza theory, 1-7 on your locks.
How did I go from absolutely amazing to just sucking so bad?
It's all the locks, you know, different sports, but it is like there's a long way to go here. So don't fret.
Don't you fret.
Let's do this thing then.
All right, let's do it. Give us the picks. Or is that
so? Here we go. Yeah, no, I got it. So we got four games that the three of us are picking, and Robbie sent in his picks. And gosh, now I know Robbie always like reverses the order and whatnot, but we'll get through. We'll get all the picks laid out here. So we got four that we're all doing. That's Preds, Chicago, Preds, St. Louis, Nashville SC, San Jose. Those are all just straight up, you know, money line. And then you got T-Wolves, Grizzlies -6.5. And Chase, if you'd like to weigh in at any point, like, wow, that's a dumb pick. Wow, Joe, you should be lured to Vegas. What a genius call. You know, feel free.
Okay. Relax.
So, yes. Preds, Blackhawks. Michelle, I'll let you go first with this. Pred Chicago tomorrow, huge game for the Nashville Predators.
Listen, we heard this in John Hines' press conference yesterday about how they need to get ready for Saturday. They need to get ready for the Blackhawks. I think he's going to put a big emphasis on that for this team. I think they need a bounce back. So give me the Preds on this one.
Robbie, also going Preds. And I'm going to go Preds, and I want you to make it my lock. I'm basically because of – are you giving me the Barkley? Do I get the Barkley?
Guarantee.
Sorry about that. I blame Elijah for that.
Basically, I'm with you. Like, I think that this tomorrow is going to be one of those look in the mirror. Not saying that last night was like the Seattle game, but I get the same sense of kick in the butt. And I think the kick in the butt will resonate tomorrow against a team that, you know, the thing is, I think when you jump on these teams that don't have a lot of incentive, which is what the Preds need to do, you know, then you can make for a little bit easier day for yourself. So I'm going to go Preds lock. Preds Blues Sunday. And of course, we got Terry Crisp, Crispapalooza, so to speak, this weekend. It's going to be awesome. A huge game. We'll go Robbie first. Robbie is going Preds. Michelle, Preds Blues.
I'm going to go with Robbie on this one, and I'm going to take Preds as well. Like I said in Called Your Shot Friday, I think they're going to sweep this weekend. They're doing it for Terry Crisp. Crispy Palooza.
Mm. See, I think that – so I'm going to go Blues. I think they're doing this for Terry Crisp to make sure they keep him nice and ornery as we can – because remember, you know, Terry Crisp, he's getting celebrated this weekend. There's still a lot of hockey to play, a lot of work to do for Terry Crisp. Look, the Blues are in a battle right now with Minnesota for home ice, and it's a back-to-back for the Preds, obviously. It'll be very interesting, you know, the goalie decision to me, because you have a 11:30 a.m. game and a later day game Sunday, but I'm going to go with the Blues. Okay, Nashville SC,
San Jose. Let me wait. Let me weigh in on that. Because I could see, like, if you take care of Chicago pretty handily tomorrow, you go Saros, and then I think you run him back out against St. Louis. If he doesn't get a lot of work, he could play back-to-back.
The way
the time is. And I agree with Michelle. I think they sweep the weekend.
Woo!
I think you're going to see a pretty determined team, because I would imagine a spirited meeting or practice today and then down to business this weekend.
Yeah, no question. All right, Nashville SC, San Jose. I'll go first. You know, one on Nashville team beat a San Jose team earlier this week in a 1-0 game. And I believe a Nashville team will beat a San Jose team in a 1-0 game again tomorrow. So give me Nashville SC. Michelle.
Give me Nashville SC as well. They've seen all this commotion about the ticket prices, and they want to change people's view towards the game. So they're going to get a nice big win for us all.
Yeah, they're going to win one against Jared. Win one to yell at Jared. So there you go. Yeah, Robbie, by the way, also Nashville SC, and that is his lock. So lock Robbie. Lock Robbie on Nashville SC. And then the fourth one that we are all doing, Timberwolves, Grizzlies, game one in Memphis, Grizzlies minus 6.5. Robbie going Grizzlies. Michelle?
Grizzlies lock.
Ooh. Grizzlies lock. Okay. Here. Okay. I am going T-Wolves. I think I think this is one of those, and you know, the play-in thing gives you a little bit of a dynamic where you've got a team that has played this postseason of basketball. They've kind of got, you know, they've gotten a little bit of a taste of it. They're a little bit of a rhythm. The Grizzlies have huge expectations. The Grizzlies, you know, they haven't played meaningful basketball in a while. I think they are going to win this game, but I think the T-Wolves are going to make it really, really uncomfortable and close and end up squandering a lead in the fourth quarter. So give me those 6.5
points. So we get it. You love Karl Anthony Towns. You are such a big Kentucky basketball fan, Joe. That's all you had to say.
BBN. Actually, I'm a big Georgia basketball fan, you know, Anthony Edwards. But, yes, I actually do like Karl Anthony Towns. Great.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not?
That's right. Let's go to the two picks that we're all choosing independently. Michelle, your first one.
Okay, my first one, sticking with the NBA, Hawks, Cavs. I can't find a line right now, so we're just going to do money line. Give me the Hawks on the...
Hang on, oh. I actually just had that. Hawks minus 2.5.
Oh, give me the Hawks to cover the spread. I think that we've seen Trae Young perform in the postseason, and although they have kind of had an up and down year, I trust him in the postseason. Kevin Herter's been playing really, really well. Shout out, Kev. Hawks. Give me the Hawks to cover that one.
All right. Robbie's first independent pick. Jets, Panthers, little Winnipeg, Carolina. The Panthers are minus 1.5, and he is going with the Florida Panthers. My goodness. The Florida Panthers to roll over the Jets minus 1.5. I will go Pelicans, Clippers. Clippers minus 4. And, of course, this is one of the play-ins tonight. I really like the Clippers. I actually think the Clippers could be kind of interesting in the actual playoff. I definitely will gladly give those 4 points and take the Clippers.
I like that one.
And I will start the second round, Nuggets, Warriors. Warriors minus 6.5. This is a little bit, you know, this is like you're betting, you know, you're ahead of your heart, but I think the Warriors are going to clean up at home in game one.
That was totally with your heart, Joe.
Maybe, but I think they're going to make a little bit of a statement. And, you know, I think especially if Steph Curry can go, I think that they will cover this. And I think they're going to win this series. I think we're going to get Warriors Grizzlies. I mean, frankly, just as a general basketball fan, that would be awesome. Michelle, your second pick.
Listen, Joe, I know you have a lot of faith and you've picked the Warriors at the beginning of the year to win it all. But I think they're going to come out flat with all their injuries. I mean, I would love to see a Memphis Warriors series, but I don't know.
No, I mean, look, I don't know either. I mean, it's just hard. They haven't been whole. So, like, what are they? The pieces, like, with Kuminga the way he's playing, I mean, they have a lot to like, but yeah, I don't know either. So, your second pick?
Another team that hasn't been whole, Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic is injured. They're playing the Jazz. The Jazz are favored by 4.5. I really think that the Jazz are going to roll over them. So, give me the Jazz minus the 4.5.
And finally, Robbie Stanley. Nets, Celtics game one, Celtics minus 4. And now I'm forgetting what he picked. He's taking the Nets and the points. And frankly, I think I like his pick there.
Okay.
So there you go. Chase, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'll go Nashville SC. So I will take that, and then I'll throw in Kyle Wright pitching for the Braves tonight in San Diego. They lost last night. I will take Kyle Wright, who's won his only start this year. Give me the Braves minus 105 on the money line.
Gosh, and thank you for putting a little baseball in this. We had no baseball before that, so nice.
Yeah, there you go. So there, your weekend winners. Good luck to all of you. We're all counting on you. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including polo shirt, balls, and umbrella. Text golf now to 615-737-1025 to enter to win. Coming up next, we'll put a bow on things and hit the new Titans Stadium because some new info is out as well. And I want to get Joe's thoughts and all of yours as well as you listen to Robbie and Rex Road. Chase in for Rob, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. You can listen to us on the Game Nashville app as well. Darren Donick and Chase, sans Chase, coming up in just a few minutes. And everybody's working for the weekend. Joe, I don't know if you've had a chance to see this yet, but the Tennessean has an article, an exclusive new Nashville NFL stadium could exceed $2 billion and be ready by 2026. And they have a conceptual design that is a part of it that shows a covered stadium, an enclosed stadium. Now, what I can't tell is because there's so much stuff around it, is it a retractable roof? Are the sides enclosed? Like, what exactly it looks like? But I find it interesting that this is the first time we've seen any kind of rendering and a cost of between $1.9 billion and $2.9 billion. And these are some things that the Tennessean obtained from team and state finance department documents.
2.2, that's a key one to make. 1.9 and 2.2 billion, not 2.9 billion.
Oh, 2.2. Sorry, my bad.
Don't freak people out, Chase. Yeah, that's an interesting drawing. Obviously, you got it basically looks like a – is that Legos? It looks like Legos.
It kind of does look like Legos.
A Lego world. But, as you can see, you got the mixed use. I mean, a big key there is going to be residential property. I think that's going to be a key part of the discussion here, to not just have bars and restaurant, right? I mean, it's like, you know, maybe help bring down rent a little bit, like benefit people who don't have a ton of money. It's hard to get that done a lot of times in situations like this, but yeah, I mean, that Lego rendering looks about what you expect. I mean, yeah, I don't know you could read too much into like the specifics of what the stadium looks like, but I don't think it's going to be a retractable roof.
Which is fine. I would prefer that, but I don't care. I mean, if that's what it's going to be to get an enclosed stadium, you know, to just say, hey, let's just do more of a it's not a dome, but you want to call it a dome and not a retractable, then whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like retractable. I think it'd be great on we do have a lot of good weather days, and I love the outdoor football atmosphere, you know, that Nissan provides, but I don't think it's a deal breaker. I mean, the deal breaker is the roof, which obviously the $500 million in bonds is, I mean, that's written. Like, it is dependent on that because it's just a completely different. And this is where some of these talks will boil down to, you know, the Titans, as we get into the talks and dig in on who's paying for what and all those things that happen when there's a new stadium discussion. You know, there's going to be people that say, hey, how about the NFL? The team pays for all this. You know, that doesn't happen. It never happens other than like Kroenke saying, okay, here's $5 billion in LA. But for the most part, it doesn't happen. But what the Titans can and probably will say is, you know, think about all of the benefits to this city by putting the roof on that we don't care if there's a roof, but we put a roof on and guess what? Super Bowl's here every few years. Final Four here is every few years. SEC championship game for football. You tell me why they would pick Atlanta over Nashville moving forward if this happens.
I think it would at least be in a rotation.
Yep.
You know,
and concerts and all these things.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm going to Garth Brooks tonight and I'm a little concerned about the weather. Just like I was in July, you have a roof on it, you're not worried about that. you're going to get the stadium experience. You didn't mention WrestleMania, but WrestleMania would certainly be here. And I can tell you this. So if the NFL were to say, okay, the Super Bowl is coming to Nashville in 2028, WrestleMania is here in 2027 because Vince likes to beat the NFL. So
nice. That's a good called shot. Call that shot.
Just you go look at with these new stadiums when they come in. Now, the only one that he wasn't able to beat was L.A., but it was supposed to be last year in L.A., but COVID obviously couldn't happen. So, but, yeah, Vince likes to beat the NFL. So I think that Mania would be probably one of the first big event outside of maybe the World Cup here in Nashville in the new stadium. But $2.2 billion because whenever you're talking about a stadium and they give you a – okay, it's going to be between one mark and the other. I always go to the higher one because that's they're not going to be on budget. They'll probably end up having to spend more. But like you said, I mean, the benefit to me is greater, even though like it sticker shock and it hurts right now, and nobody wants their taxes to go up. The motel hotel tax is one that could go up. That, you know, make the out-of-towners pay for it, which I think is a brilliant idea with so many people coming in, make the bachelorette parties pay for it. I have no issue with that. But this is a thing that needs to happen, and it's going to. I think the train is moving too fast now for it to really derail.
I think so, too. I mean, I have talked to some people who believe that, you know, this isn't just going to be snap your fingers and it's going to be smooth. And, you know, we had Nate Rao on yesterday from Axios, who, you know, has been out front on most of the stadium stuff. And as he said, look, you know, like there's still politics involved in this. And the it's very important to be quick here, because if you get this into a re-election or, you know, an election cycle, that's where it can get sticky, because politicians are often opportunistic. But I do agree that ultimately it's going to get done. Big question for me is, will it get done in time for the World Cup? Does it matter? Would the World Cup still be okay with Nissan Stadium and accept all the other benefits about Nashville? Or, because I think they would like to give them a choice of this new place or Nissan in 2026, if possible.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I think that you can't bank everything on the World Cup, you know, just – whatever the timeline is, be ready for the 2026 NFL season. Joe, thanks for letting me hang out today. Enjoyed hanging out with you, Michelle, and Nick this morning. Robbie will be back on Monday. D-Mace is in the house. So have a great weekend, everybody. Appreciate it. And stick around. Darren Donick and Chase, Sans Chase with D-Mace, is up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.